You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Alzheimer's impacts millions of Americans, yet there are still a lot of myths and misconceptions about the disease. I spoke with Dr. Bo Ancis, professor of neurology at Washington University in St. Louis, about what's fact and what's fiction.
So dementia is a big umbrella, and it covers a lot of different diseases. One of the most common forms of dementia is Alzheimer's disease, but there are other types of dementia. So there can be due to, say, lack of blood flow to an area. We call that vascular cognitive impairment. There can be dementia due to something called frontotemporal dementia, meaning that there is cognitive thinking and personality changes. And then there can also be people who have Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease, and they have this Parkinson's disease dementia. Often people also don't read the textbook, and they have a kind of combination of a couple different pathologies that's leading to them having dementia.
So you have to have an actual diagnosis then of Alzheimer's.
So the way to make a diagnosis of Alzheimer's is rapidly changing, and it is really a whole new field compared to what I came to when I was in medical school. In the past, we just said if you had dementia, if you got old enough, you were just going to naturally develop dementia. And the answer is no. There is successful aging. But if you start to fall off of that kind of curve and you're having a lot of thinking problems, then we are worried that you may have some kind of neurodegenerative process. And again, the most common would be Alzheimer's. And the way we can make a diagnosis is either by first testing you and seeing you clinically, but we can also do some blood tests or spinal fluid tests, or that's also called a lumbar puncture, or we can also do something called PET imaging or take pictures of your brain. And by looking at some of the hallmarks of the pathology, which are something called amyloid and tau, we can then make a diagnosis of either is it Alzheimer's disease or is it something else.
Over the years, I feel like I've heard various reports of things that trigger Alzheimer's, everything from, you know, aluminum pans to heredity. What really does cause it? Do we know yet?
Yeah, so let's talk first about the aluminum pans and the idea. So there was a study a number of years ago where they actually gave rabbits aluminum, and they saw that it led to some kinds of changes in their thinking. And then they looked at some people who had dialysis, and in dialysis, meaning for kidney function, there was an increase in the aluminum. But when they really looked at those studies further, and they've looked at bigger studies of exposures to aluminum, we have not found that aluminum per se is a cause or a trigger for Alzheimer's disease. So it's one of those, quote, myths that we see or hear about for Alzheimer's disease. Further work needs to be done in this field, but right now that's what our thoughts are with regards to aluminum. With regards to inheritance, yes, there is something where we can blame our parents or blame our family on that. But it is in certain kinds of fashion. So one of the biggest risk factors for developing Alzheimer's disease is a certain gene. It's called the apolipoprotein E, or APOE4. And if you have one copy of that, you have about a 3 to 4-fold increased risk of Alzheimer's disease. And if you have two copies of it, you have about a 12-fold risk. That doesn't mean you will develop the disease. You just are at a higher risk of developing the disease. And that's the most common for late onset Alzheimer's disease, the more typical Alzheimer's disease. But there is also Alzheimer's disease at a younger age, and we call those genetic forms of Alzheimer's disease. And there's only a very small population that this affects. It's about 1% of all Alzheimer's disease. And in those two cases, one is due to, we call it autosomal dominant Alzheimer's disease. And that means that every generation, we start seeing people developing Alzheimer's disease, and they develop it at a much younger age, so in their 40s or 50s. And so they pass along this gene, and if you do get this gene, then you will develop Alzheimer's disease. The second other genetic cause is Down syndrome. So anybody who has Down syndrome, If they live long enough, they will develop Alzheimer's disease because they're making too much of this amyloid, and it also deposits in the brain, just like this autosomal dominant.
When it comes to treatments, or maybe what we see sometimes online about, you know, things you can take to prevent Alzheimer's, give us a rundown of what you see and hear that is just not true when it comes to medications or supplements.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different supplements, and you may see them on TV, and you may hear, and there's different all kinds that are out there. Most of those supplements, there have not been really big clinical trials, and we call it a placebo-controlled trial, meaning you either get the sugar pill or you get this medication at a certain dose. Everybody is blinded, meaning we don't know which drug you're getting. And then we break the blinding after the study is complete and look at the results and see if there's a difference. In many of these instances, we don't see any changes with those kinds of medications. So there's a lot out there that you may hear about. There's even some stuff you may hear about fish oils. And so this is a substance that a lot of people take. It has omega-3. It leads to some changes in how the brain cells are functioning and also are talking. We don't see, there's been a lot of analyses. It's kind of very equivocal. We don't see a lot of effect, say, per se, on Alzheimer's disease, on the pathology, but it may improve a little bit of your thinking overall in general. So there are many other substances that are out there, but most of them, we don't see true benefits from them.
I'm curious, while we have you, you know, how close are we really to solving the problem of how to prevent this?
So I'm glad you used the word prevent, because there's the other word that we use, the C word, the cure word. And that's really something that we're trying to figure out. It is a very difficult disease to figure out. There's a lot of different pathology that is now going on with this disease. So there's that amyloid that I was talking about, as well as this tau. So these two proteins that are abnormal within individuals who have Alzheimer's disease. We finally have some new drugs that are out there that were the first drugs that have been approved in the last 15 to 20 years for Alzheimer's disease. These drugs kind of suck up that amyloid, so they take it out of the brain and they remove it. They are not the cure. What they do is they reduce the progression. So they slow down the progression of the disease, but they're not a cure. And so where we're thinking of for preventing the disease is making an earlier diagnosis. So going back to those, either the blood studies, which have been actually developed here at WashU, or spinal fluid measures, which are also a lot of work that was done at WashU, or imaging measures using PET, which was also done a lot of work at WashU, where we are making an earlier diagnosis. And the idea is that if we make an earlier diagnosis and start people on therapies, that will even more make it a more even more gradual decline in these individuals.
That is Dr. Bo Ansis, professor of neurology at Washington University in St. Louis.